الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد. Next chapter is in bid'ah, innovations. Bid'ah literally means innovation. In terms of the Sharia, it is the introduction of a new deed in Islam, which number one cannot be substantiated from the Quran and Hadith, and number two did not exist in the time of the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and the Tabi Tabi'in, their followers. To regard such an innovation as an integral part of deen and thereby act upon it, or to regard an integral aspect of deen as being non-essential and thereby shun it, will also be treated as bid'ah. Similarly, to apply or to specify certain conditions to a permissible act of Sharia, which has no basis in the Sharia, will also fall within the scope of bid'ah. Bid'ah is a major sin after kufr and shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "To introduce a new thing in deen is bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance leads one to the fire." Bid'ah is of two types, one in beliefs and one in action. The first type, in beliefs, can in certain cases take a person out of the fold of Islam, and in certain cases not. This is when people invent new beliefs or invent their own understanding of concepts of Islam, which was not understood by the pious predecessors. The second type, bid'ah fil amal, in your actions, will not cause a person to lose his iman, but will render him a sinner and deviated. Some actions of bid'ah acts and customs in vogue are decorating graves with a chadar with a covering, lighting of lamps at the graves, cementing or casting concrete on the surface of graves, erecting domes on the graves, to wear garlands at marriage ceremonies, stipulating the third day, the seventh day, the 40th day for reciting the Quran Sharif for Isal al-Thawab, participating in the customs of Milad, Urs, Kiharwi Sharif, placing food at the graves, kissing the graves, adding words before or after the Adhan, like Durood Sharif, Salat and Salam, to make dua after the Janazah Salah, to do a certain action or zikr in a specific way and at a specific time with the intention that there will be more reward, to give adhan at the grave after burying the deceased, to perform nafal salah in a specific way on specific nights, which are not established in the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person involved in bid'ah does not get the ability to repent. He will be deprived of the water of kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not permissible to honor a bid'ati. This is because by doing so, it entails destroying the structure of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 26th Juz Para was recited. First surah is Suratul Ahqaf. Ulama say that in this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam gave da'wat, then it was Allah ta'ala's system that Allah ta'ala does not punish immediately, but Allah ta'ala gives muhlat, Allah gives chance and respite before eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command comes down and then nations are destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah mentioning about the Quran Sharif, the greatness of the Quran Sharif. It has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most powerful, the most wise. And Allah ta'ala says, "We have not created the heavens and the earth and everything in between them illa bilhaq, except for a certain purpose and for a certain time." The object why Allah has created the heavens and the earth, so a person to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prepare for akhirat, it has come for a certain time, eventually it will be destroyed. So do not put your heart in this dunya, in this world, something which is temporary, but put your heart towards something which is eternal, which will remain forever and forever. And whoever you are calling besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can never answer your du'as. They don't even know you are making du'a for them. And on the day of Qiyamah, when people will be resurrected, they will become your enemies, and they will completely deny whatever worship you used to make of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there are two groups of people, some who accept, who got iman, and they remain firm on the iman. There is no fear for such people, neither will they grieve. They are the people of Jannah. And Allah Ta'ala mentions one special quality among of these people is that Allah has commanded us to look after our parents, to be kind towards our parents, بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ ihsana, to be good towards one's parents. And as we had mentioned in the 15th para, that Allah, there are three words. One is zulam and oppression. Zulam is when you somebody that's good to you, you do good to that person. That to do for any person is haram, and for one's parents is even worse. Second, a hadith, a person who oppresses his parents before leaving this world, definitely he will see the punishment already. Then the second level is of adl, justice, to be fair with people. This is for other people, it's compulsory, you must be fair with other people. But for your parents, this is not sufficient. Ya Allah Ta'ala used the word ihsan. The minimum for one's parents is to make ihsan towards them. Ihsan means, even if they do wrong to you, you still have to do right towards them. You have to fulfill their rights. Their rights are extremely great. So much so a person is carrying his parents, going for Umrah, for Hajj, making tawaf of Kaabatullah. It happened in time of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when a person asked him, can I fulfill, did I fulfill the right of my parents? He said, not even that, he uttered, and she gave birth to you. So if we cannot even fulfill so much the rights of our parents, so Allah has given us the rights of our parents, the ihsana, to be kind and compassionate towards them. And in 15th part also, Allah has mentioned in great detail how you must speak to them. Don't show disrespect. Your actions to in front of them, you have to make dua for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, especially the mother, three rights got greater than the father, because she bore the child with great difficulty. Then she gave birth to him, and thereafter she breastfed him. So that's why her rights over the father are three times. So what a status she has got. This is why Jannat lies under the feet of one's mother. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, eventually when a person reaches the age of 40, realization, at least at that time, before that also it's supposed to have come, but now 40 yourself, you are a father, you also have gone, maybe your children have grown up also, and you have seen the whole of life. So minimum, at least you should read this dua, a beautiful dua of the Quran. رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Oh Allah, give me the tawfiq and ability to make shukr and thank you for the bounties which you have favored me and which you have favored my parents. Because whatever comes to my parents normally comes to me also. And I must do such good actions by which you are pleased. Just to do a good action is not sufficient. But after a person does a good action, tarzahu, Allah must be pleased with the action. It must be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just doing a good action is not sufficient. And then, oh Allah ta'ala, correct me, my children, make the Islam, reform my children for me. Oh Allah, I turn my attention towards you, and I'm amongst the Muslim people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three great virtues and rewards for reciting this dua. One is Allah will accept the good actions of that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins, and Allah will make him amongst the people of Jannah. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua. It is maybe the one or the only two du'as in the whole Quran where Allah actually mentions the du'a, and Allah mentions the virtue of the du'a, which comes also for Rabbana Atina fi dunya, a person will get whatever he's asked for. And here also the great virtues for reciting this du'a. Allah give us tawfiq that we learn this du'a also and we try to recite it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the other hand, you get certain people, they speak to their parents with disrespect, uffil lakuma, akh, to you. And when their parents are inviting them towards akhirat, preparing for the life of the year after, they make a mock of those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people who Allah's word has been written against them. There will be destruction for such people. They are in a complete loss. So a person has to be very careful. And the ulama say that Allah ta'ala in this surah is mentioning about his rights. And Allah is saying, when the rights of parents who have made ihsan upon you, but their ihsan and favors are very little upon you, and Allah has given them such great rights, then what is the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much to a greater extent a person has to be careful and fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the nation of Ad. Very, very powerful people. Houses they built, but they did not obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave them chance, Allah gave them respite. But then eventually these people were destroyed, waiting for rain. The rain cloud came, but it actually rained Allah's punishment upon these people and completely destroyed them. On the other hand, when a person has got a sound temperament, then even the jinnat, who are normally harsh in nature, who are very not prepared to accept, they actually came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and hearing the Quran Sharif, they accepted the call of the Quran Sharif, and they go back to their people as da'is, and they call people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person has got a sound temperament and he wants to accept, then the Quran Sharif is very, very clear, very easy for a person to accept. The next surah is surah Muhammad. In ya Allah, some ulama, another name of the surah is Suratul Qital, where Allah ta'ala mentions about jihad. And here the theme of the surah is Taqaburul Imani wal Kufr, the clash between Iman and Kufr. With Iman and Kufr, there will always be a clash till the day of Qiyamah. On the one side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says are the kafir and disbelievers, preventing people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of their amal is destroyed. On the other hand, those who have got Iman do good actions. And whatever has come on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believe in it, then Allah will forgive their sins. Allah will correct all of their matters. That is because the kuffar and disbelievers are following falsehood. And those who have got Iman, they are following the haqq, the truth, which has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions about jihad, that how Allah has made his whole system of jihad. If Allah wanted to, Allah would have just sent punishment down. Allah would have, there was no need for this jihad. But Allah has done it. لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. Allah wanted to test people. And this, in the normal system of Allah ta'ala in the past nations, Allah eventually sent his punishment down and the people were completely destroyed. this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has made jihad. So then when the people will go, Allah will test the iman and give them very, very high lofty ranks, those who are mujahideen who passed away as martyrs. And then it will give the opportunity for kuffar and disbelievers also to enter the fold of Islam. And how will this happen? When the Muslims become dominant and they take over the non-Muslims, then eventually the non-Muslims will become slaves. Many people have gotten objections against slaves. Why is there slavery in Islam? So the slavery in Islam is not like the slavery of the kuffar. They went to lands and they just took people, innocent people, and made them slaves, free people. In Islam, slavery only will come take place when there is jihad. When there is jihad now, you get prisoners of war. It's one of four things you can do with them. You either kill all the prisoners of war, which Islam doesn't like to waste the life of a person unnecessarily. The second thing you can do to that person is that you free him. You free him, he'll go back to fight against the Muslims again. The third thing you can do is you lock him up in jail. But you put him in a prison, then there's a problem in the country. Who's going to look after the prisoners? Who's going to pay for them? The taxman now. The people of the country, they have to look after that man. It'll become a burden for them. So Islam has got the most beautiful way that you make them prisoners and you distribute their power amongst the Muslim people. The Muslim people will benefit with them and then they will live with the Muslim people and see the akhlaq and character of Muslims. And eventually they will be drawn towards the fall of Islam. So instead of their lives being completely destroyed, they will get Islam and they will get very high maqam and status in the year after. And subhanAllah, if a person studies in Islam and the slavery, how they were slaves were treated. One Western person went to one Muslim country 150 years ago. He said, you people are slaves. So the people said, we don't feel anything wrong with slavery. We are slaves, we are like family people. How they used to live. So the amount of akhlaq and character which the Muslims, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, whatever you eat, feed them also. Whatever you wear, make them wear also. So they lived they used to make khidmat of those people. Those people used to look after them. Many times the people, the Muslims would free them. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhu, 30,000 slaves he freed in his life. Some people every day, 100 slaves they used to free. Different encouragement was given in Islam to free slaves. And the character and how it was taught, and this was only for prisoners of war. So that, what a beautiful system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. That as you look at the Westerners, and the people who claim democracy and freedom of rights and all of these things, but when they go to countries, what do they do with the women folk? How they completely take away their honor and their dignity? What oppression is done upon people? Look at recent examples of Iraq and Afghanistan and all of these places. And the zulm and oppression which was done upon them. And then we see the beautiful teachings of Islam and how Islam has taught us in every level of life. There will be war taking place. But finally when the prisoners come out, what must be done to them? How they must be treated? SubhanAllah, this is the beautiful teachings of Islam. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about prisoners, etc. What must be done to them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the munafiqs and hypocrites in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who are not prepared to make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions about Jannat, that the example of Jannah, which Allah has promised the muttaqeen and pious people, there are rivers there with wonderful water which will never become brackish. Such milk, the taste of it will never change. And there are rivers of wine which are very enjoyable for those who are drinking the wine. And there is rivers of pure honey, Allah has kept for them. And every kind of fruit which a person wants and desires, he will have. And he will have forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can he ever be like a person who will live forever in Jahannam? And he will be given boiling hot water to drink, which will eventually cut through his intestines. فَقَطَّعَ مَعَاهُمْ And he will drink the water, his one lip will get swollen up, it will come over his head. The other lip will come right down over his stomach. And the water will go inside, and it will burn his intestines and cut through his intestines. Can that person who is getting Jannat ever be equal to this person here? And what wonderful drinks the person will get. The person who had obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And as we had mentioned the other day, it comes in certain hadith, a person who drinks wine in this world, and he will be deprived of the wine of the year after. Is a foolish person who takes intoxicants in this world, whether it's drugs, whether it's wine, and he deprives himself of the everlasting enjoyment of the year after. The next surah is surah, at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Allah is calling us to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people are bakhil and stingy. If a person is stingy, he's only causing harm to himself. Allah is completely independent and you are in need. Allah is asking you to spend for your own benefit. If you will turn away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will change you for somebody else. And those people won't become like you. They will be much better than you. Allah is not in need of any people. Once I read an article that in America in 1 year, 1 million Muslims became atheists. They left the fold of Islam. But in the same time, 1 million people also accepted Islam. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. If we want to go on the wrong path, Allah will use other people, other nations, and bring them in the fold of Islam. The next surah is Surah Fatah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when there is a taqabul, there is this battle between kufr and iman. Then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the Muslims have got sifat and qualities within them, then Allah will give them open victory. And especially here the battle of the treaty of Hudaybiyah, that the Muslims made a peace treaty with the Kufar, and outwardly the Muslims, it looked like all the conditions were against them, but eventually they accepted it was the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while going back from there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions great victory for the Muslim people, fatham mubina, such a fatah, such a victory, which is a clear and open victory, where iman will become dominant over kufr and disbelief. And this actually happened in Fatih Makkah, when the Muslims eventually took over Makkah Mukarramah. But the beginning of this was in Hudaybiyah, when they had the peace treaty. At that time there was about 1,400 Muslims who had come with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when the kuffar now started seeing the akhlaq and character of the Muslims, it was trading with the Muslims coming to Medina Munawwara, there wasn't war. Then eventually, 2 years later, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attacked Makkah Mukarramah, he comes with 10,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So many people accepted Islam when they looked at the akhlaq and character of the Muslims. This is our weakness, unfortunately. We have not showing the non-Muslim people what Islam actually is. Otherwise, when they see a Muslim person's character, they're supposed to have been drawn towards the beautiful teachings of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that those Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in a foreign country, in a foreign land, but when the command came that they must make jihad and fight without any weapons also, and they were happy to pledge to death, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree, Allah became happy with them. Laqad radiyallahu. Allah was happy with them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them many, many victories thereafter because of this obedience of theirs. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the surah mentions that the sifat of the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that those who are with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'ahu, those who are with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it shows ma'ah, or I might say suhbat, company. And the person stays in the company of pious people here, or the sahaba stayed in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amazing qualities which came into them. Number one, atidda'u ala al-kuffar, very, very harsh against the kuffar and disbelievers. But ruhama'u bainahum, amongst the believers, they have mercy amongst themselves. With the ulama says, this is iman, perfection of iman. Ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. You love for Allah and you hate for Allah, it's perfection of iman. Tarahum ruk'an sujjada. You will always see sahaba in ruku and sajda. So they had iman, Islam. Islam is the outward actions of Islam. Always you see them in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. The greatest outward apparent ibadat of Allah is salah. So you will always see them in salah. And yabtaghuna fadlan min Allah wa ridwana. And they are always seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. They got ikhlas, ihsan. So iman, Islam and ihsan, all three qualities were found in sahaba radiallahu anhum to the highest level. And this all came because of the suhbat, the company which they had of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's time we cannot have the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we have the khulafa of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mashayikh, the ulama'i rabbani, and the pious ulama. Person sits in their company, also the sifat and qualities eventually rub off onto a person, and the sifat are created within a person. The next surah is Surah Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions adab and etiquette. As Hazrat mentioned the other day, very briefly, certain adab and etiquettes which are mentioned here. Ulama say all different types of etiquettes are mentioned. The first etiquette is of the Amir. When you're living in an Islamic society, there is an Amir. What a person must do, yeah, Allah has given an example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not go against the command of Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not raise your voices above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't speak to him like how you speak amongst yourselves. It can happen because of your disrespect. All your amal, you can lose your iman because of disrespect. This is what Hazrat Amir rahmatullah alayhi said, disrespect is worse than sinning sometimes. Because sinning is because of a person's lust. And disrespect comes because of pride and arrogance within a person. And disrespect, and tahbatu amalukum, because of disrespect, you can lose your iman. All your amal will be destroyed. You don't even know so. So this disrespect is something especially for our elders. Do not show disrespect to them. Allah give us tawfiq. We've got weaknesses within ourselves. Allah must forgive us. But the person intentionally should never ever show any disrespect to his elders. We should ask them for maaf if we have done wrong. And then Allah Ta'ala says that those who lower their voices in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in front of our elders, Allah has tested their hearts with taqwa and piety, and Allah has given them great, great rewards. So much so when they go visit their elders also, then they mustn't shout out to them and call them out. Actually, it is better and superior that they wait outside and wait for them to eventually come out of their houses, that you mustn't even cause them the smallest amount of taklif and difficulty. Amongst other Muslim people, if any news comes to a person, then first find out and verify. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. They verify the news information. It must not happen that one you will cause harm to one group because of ignorance, and then you will be sorrowful thereafter of what you had done because of wrong information. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that sometimes because of this wrong information, there is fighting amongst the Muslim people. So now how must a person make sulah amongst them? How must he try to join between the two groups? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who is on the wrong, try to bring him to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and try to make sulah amongst them with justice, and be fair in your when you are doing this here. Remember, all the believers are brothers amongst themselves. So make salah amongst brothers. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's special mercy will come down to you. Six commands Allah ta'ala gives you, that one is we must not mock one another. Perhaps the reason why we mock other people is we feel we are better than others. So Allah says, perhaps they are better than you. How can you mock? And especially amongst ladies, it's even more common. So Allah ta'ala especially mentions about the women folk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that do not ulatalmizu anfusakum, that do not mock one another, taunt one another, and do not call one another by names. You a fasik, or kafir, or you call him a certain title which he doesn't like, a nickname which he doesn't like. Do not give titles towards people. This creates enmity in the hearts of people. And number four, Allah says, stay away from many guman and thoughts. And even bad thoughts, the person must completely abstain from. Even some good thoughts, the person, Allah says, kathira min adhan. Because even though some thoughts are evil, are sins, some thoughts are not sins, but those thoughts can take a person towards guna and sin. So a person has to be very careful regarding his thoughts. And why does the thought come? Because the person is spying. He's trying to find out. So one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that all people who have got iman on their tongues, but iman hasn't entered their heart as yet, do not look for the faults of Muslim people. Because if a person looks for the faults of Muslim people, Allah will disgrace that person. Allah will take out his faults. Even though he's in the corner of his house, he's hiding in his house, Allah will disgrace that person. So do not look for faults of one another. And وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not have ghibah. Do not backbite. الْغِيبَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الزِّنَا. Does a person like to eat the flesh of his brother who is dead? You won't eat the flesh of a human being. And even worse is your brother, and he has passed away. You dislike this. Yeah, this is actually what you are doing when you are making ghibah and you are backbiting. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. And one reason why people also have this fighting amongst themselves is because of this caste system. I am better and superior to other people. Allah says there is no such thing, not because of color or race or whatever. The main thing is taqwa. Whoever has got more piety in the court of Allah, he is more honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not sufficient also for a person to say, I've got iman, but outwardly he's got Islam, but iman hasn't entered his heart. He has to make an effort that iman must come into the recesses of the heart. Who are the true believers? Those who believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they have got no doubt at all. And they strive with their wealth and their lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the truthful people. And also you must never ever feel that I'm doing somebody else a favor because I got Islam. You make ihsan jatana, you show like your post that I got Islam and I'm such a good Muslim. Allah said Allah has favored you, that Allah has given you guidance towards iman. If you are really a believer, Allah has given you hidayat and guidance. Make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't be proud and boastful and like you are doing somebody else a favor. Whatever ibadat we do, whatever good actions we do, even our charity we are giving in the path of Allah ta'ala, we are not making a favor upon somebody else. So much so the ulama mentioned one of the adab and etiquette when you are giving charity is that you must regard the person you are giving charity as your benefactor, that he is doing you a favor. He is taking your money and storing it in the bank of the akhirat. Like somebody comes to your house and says, you give me your money, I'll give you an investment, 100% profit or 20% profit. He's coming to you and asking you, and you're giving him that money and giving him 20% profit. You don't feel like you did him a favor by giving him the money. You're getting the profit and the benefit. So he's making a favor upon you. So that beggar who's coming and you are giving him something, he's actually making ihsan upon you, that he's taking your money and storing it in the bank of the akhirat. So this is amongst one of the adab and etiquette also when a person is giving charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Qaf. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about akhirat, that the akhirat is the main, most important thing. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually in Jummah khutbah many times, he would recite the surah, Surah Qaf. This is the surah, whole Surah Qaf was recited in the first khutbah of Jummah Salah. Because in here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about akhirat, the yaqeen and conviction in akhirat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Those who never believed in akhirat, they destroyed themselves, the nations of the past. And if you got akhirat in front of a person, then a person's life will come right. So remember, there are angels upon a person, one on the right hand side, one on the left hand side. Whatever a person is saying, uttering, action he is doing, is being written down and recorded. The angel records it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also knows it. And on the day of Qiyamah, they will come in front and they will give testimony against that person. And Allah says that we will say we were in ghaflat, in mindfulness in this world. But today Allah has removed the veil for us, and our eyes will become extremely sharp on the day of Qiyamah. And then the kuffar and disbelievers will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Remember, on the day of Qiyamah, we will say to Jahannam, are you full now? And Jahannam will be saying, Hal min mazid, hal min mazid. Is there any more? It's waiting for more and more people to come instead in the fire of Jahannam. On the other hand, the pious people, those who made awwab, They turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They humbled themselves and they looked after the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came with a heart which had inhabit and turned his attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be said to them, enter into Jannah forever and forever. Lahumma yasha'una fiha. Whatever your desires you want in Jannah, Allah will give it to you. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدًا. Even more than what you desire. Where your desires stop. In this world we cannot fulfill our desires. But in akhirah, where our desires stop, Allah will say, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدًا. We've got even much, much more than that there. And Allah will give a person much, much more greater bounties. So an intelligent person is he, a person who he makes a bit of sacrifice in this world. And he prepares for the everlasting life of the akhirah. But Allah says, this will be nasihat and advice. For either a person, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, who's got a heart, a receptive heart, he wants to accept, he will get hidayat. Or if he hasn't got that heart, أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, he puts his ears forward and he is present. He's sitting in the bayan. His ears is there also, but his heart is also present. He tries to listen with the intention of hidayat. So if he hasn't got a very strong, powerful heart, which will immediately accept hidayat, but at least listen attentively with the intention of guidance. Eventually, slowly, slowly, Allah will grant a person guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulih al-kareem. Amma ba'd. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الإيمان 77 شعبة فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق رواه السدة. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه سے مروی ہے کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ ایمان کی 70 سے زیادہ شاخیں ہیں. بعض روایات میں 77 آئی ہیں. ان میں سے سب سے افضل لا إله إلا الله کا پڑھنا ہے اور سب سے کم درجہ راستے سے کسی تکلیف دہ چیز اینٹ لکڑی کانٹے وغیرہ کا ہٹا دینا ہے. نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, ایمان comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of لا إله إلا الله, and the lowest or easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway. نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, ایمان comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of لا إله إلا الله, and the lowest or the easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway.